Blog Talk Radio.
All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queens.
Salutations, it's your girl Lushy Lush, man, back from the woodwork, man. You know what I'm saying? Nobody can keep a girl down. Yeah, I got released from the hospital and everything, still healing from my arm and surgery and everything, but I'm back in the building. It's Street Queens, the movement, and I definitely want to thank E2K Magazine Online. Make sure you log on to their website and check it out. Shout out to Omar. Definitely make sure that you check out dcmingle.ning.com. Check them out. And definitely shout out to my girl, Celebrity Entertainment, the one and only Donna. She got a hot event going on, Icons and Idols, December the 18th. Spending on the ones and twos is your man, the one and only Easy Street of WKYS 93.9. Over Mars, the creator of the Raging Bull, will be performing live and coming straight from Jamaica, and DJ Shampoo is going down. Shout out to all them people that's having them birthdays in December. Shout out to all the Sagittarius. Shout out to my cousin Erica. Another Sagittarius in December is going down. I don't know where you're going to be at New Year's Eve, but there's going to be a red carpet event going down in Silver Spring, Maryland, in the DMV, hosted by DC Mingle. Your girl, Lushy Lush, will be hosting the red carpet, and it's going down. You know what I'm saying? For more information about that, log on to www.lushradioonline.com. Tonight, if you're in the Bronx area and you totally believe about giving back and making a child smile and making their day, gone for those less fortunate children out there. We do this each and every year, man. It's the Kris Kringle Toy Drive, and we're doing a fundraiser. It's going down at Mimosa's. Mimosa's is in New York City, in the Bronx, and we're calling on all of you guys to come through and definitely help out and definitely help the children out there that are less fortunate and definitely help them out and give those gifts, man. If you could buy one gift, whether it's the dollar store or whatever, send a gift over there, man. If you got a donation, you can donate some money. Go down there. Be live at Mimosa's tonight. Emma at E2K will be out there collecting toys and donations at Mimosa's in the Bronx. Make sure that you definitely send out that information and definitely come through. We need all of your help. Everybody can help. Anybody can be a sponsor. We definitely need your encouragement and you know, we want to put a smile on a child's face. We've been doing this each and every year. Lush Radio Online and Street Queens and Movement are definitely sponsors of this event. You can be a sponsor. You know, it's not even about sponsorship. It's just about helping somebody out, helping a child less fortunate than you. And tonight's topic, we're talking about, you know, Christmas coming around the corner, talking about giving back. What have you done to give back in 2010? Other than helping yourself out? What have you done? You know, that's what we want to know. Mimosa's is located at 1237 Castle Hill Avenue, Bronx, New York, 10462. And it's tonight at 9 p.m. So make sure that you show up. And it's going to be music by DJ Dre and DJ Big Jeff from the 4040 Club. It's 21 and older with ID. No dress code, just be neat, no hats, and no do-rags. Drink specials all night and several surprise guests. And a basket of Christmas cookies will be catered by Evanique's Baskets. And INC will be raffled off for $1 at tickets. All proceeds will go to the toy drive tonight, so make sure that you definitely donate and stuff. The money that you do is the fundraiser. You donate $10 and stuff, you know, it's going to help towards these children that we're trying to definitely put a smile on their face, definitely. And that's definitely what it is. So we shout out to you. We need y'all guys to be at Mimosas tonight. It starts at 9 o'clock, so we need you to be there and be a part of the festivities. And shout out to Emma for definitely holding that whole situation down. You know, and that's definitely going to be a beautiful thing. And if you can help us do that, you know, it's going to be wonderful. The Give Thanksgiving dinner was great, and we definitely helped a lot of kids, you know, and families, and homeless people eat very well this year. Thanks to you guys for supporting us, and we want to continue to give those blessings to these children and to these mothers, single mothers that don't, might be working jobs due to the economy. They can't afford to get their kids' parents presents or anything like that. So we need you guys to give back. But the topic tonight is basically, let's think about the homeless people, you know, on Christmas. Let's think about during the season, it's cold, there's homeless people. And what have you done to give back? And what does giving back mean to you? Whether it's knowledge, whether it's a gift, maybe it's financial, what does giving back mean to you? Call in at 347-826-7722 and tell us what giving back means to you. And if you at Mimosas, man, salute to you. Make sure that you keep on supporting us, because we need your help, definitely, to help us out there, because we definitely need your help in order for us to help these children. We have been coming out of our pockets majority of the years, but now we have more people that are setting aside and definitely helping us out with definitely helping these children out there. And I got some Christmas music for y'all, you know, taking it back to Curtis Blow Christmas rap. I got that joint in the arsenal too, so, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to play this joint for all y'all. Keep winning by RC episode, and I'm going to come back on Street Queens, the movement.
They don't give a damn about you. Kick you in the face when you down.
Yeah.
So many people doubted me. Well, I'm on top, look at me now.
Love
a dead bleeding in the street. By somebody that I thought was my friend.
Yeah.
All I really know is that I ain't never gonna stop. Homeboy, I'ma keep winning.
Wanna see you winning ever since the beginning. $500 dead, I'm dead. Wanna see you in them. Surrounded by pretty women. Most of them being models. On a Friday and going by all the bottles.
Yeah.
I ain't hit the lotto, never promised tomorrow. I came a long way with no cash in that Monte Carlo. Feeling thankful to saw, my pride I had to swallow. Now how the hell did I become somebody's role model? You can say I'd make it, they ain't never believe me. Now that they try to holler, every time they see me. I say it wasn't easy, these industry niggas greedy. Forget what you see on TV, it ain't easy to be me. And even when I'm fed up, always gonna keep my head up. Mama raised her a ride and survived.
Riding down the highway, flying with the top down, sacrificing the kingdom. No way I'ma stop.
About giving back and also homelessness. This is the Christmas season, and we just got to thank God for being alive and being able to breathe and everything like that. And, you know, I myself know about homelessness because I've been homeless at one time in my life, and it's not a pretty thing, you know. My people's actually seen a young man today, and he came up to him and said, you know, a lot of people shun homeless people away and say, oh, they just winos or they just want to be there because they want to be there. This guy came up to my peoples and said, I don't even want any money. It's Christmas around, but I can barely stand up. I haven't eaten in a while. I'm just hungry. Can you feed me? You know, and my peoples went and took him to the Chinese spot and got him some wings and fries and soda, and it was like, dang, you know, there are some people making it in this economy, and there's some people that aren't, you know, and we can't shun people away due to the fact we feel some type of way, because that could be, God forbid, your daughter, your sister, your friend, or even yourself out there, and it's not a pretty picture being homeless, you know, and it's a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, that die out there from, you know, hypothermia and stuff like that. A lot of our veterans are out there that are homeless and have no place to stay. A lot of people have no families to go to during the holidays. You know, I'm not asking everybody to take, but, you know, if you have a chance and you see a family or maybe a child that needs to be taken in, take them in, you know what I'm saying, and make their Christmas nice. So give them a hot meal or something, because you never know. That might be the first meal they ate in a while, you know. And, you know, giving back means a lot to me. Giving back doesn't always mean that you have to give something, literally an item or something. Giving back could be knowledge or guidance in some sort or something, or information, or giving somebody a stepping stone to better their horizons or their life and things like that, or that helping listening ear or that shoulder to cry on, or just being there for an individual as a mentor and things like that. And a lot of us sometimes, you know, some people are definitely selfish sometimes, you know, and a lot of people are so caught up in the materialistic things in regards to call Christmas, you know. And we go crazy on Black Friday, you know, getting Christmas sales and things like that, you know, and we don't think about other people other than us. Like, that's never going to be me. I'm never going to be homeless or something around that time. But you never know. It could be you, God forbid. You know, we're talking, if you're joining us right now, we're talking about giving back. And what have you done to give back in 2010? Going into the Christmas season, and right now at 9 o'clock, Mimosas will be doing fundraising donations for our Kris Kringle toy drive that we give back towards to the children and everything like that. We have a caller from the 850. I think this is the beautiful Natalia. Peace, Queen. I don't know if I got
Hey, Queen,
one.
How we doing?
Peace, Queen. How you doing, Natalia? Can you hear me? Oh, I don't know what's going on with the switchboard. Hold on 1 second. Natalia, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. What's up? How you doing, girl?
Good. Just checking on you, baby. How you feeling? You give us a lot, so we got to make sure you good.
Oh, man. I came out of the, I got discharged yesterday from the hospital and stuff. So I'm just trying to heal and stuff right now.
Well, I'm sure Nurse Natalia taking care of you.
Yeah, she had rubbed my back with some Bengay and stuff before when everything started. My back was hurting, and I know she couldn't stand doing that, but she did it because she loved her mama.
I miss all of my queens. I was not sure we were going to have the show on tonight because I figured you probably going to take some time off or be off some meds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still on meds and stuff and everything, but you know what? You know, luckily, you know, I don't have to do any heavy lifting doing this.
Oh, I know.
So basically, I guess, you know, I'm still going to take some time to rest. I'm not going to overdo, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I give back through this whole show and things like that so the people can get their information and their knowledge, and maybe it can touch somebody down the road and stuff. How are you doing with the girls and everything, Natalia?
We're all just running around crazy. We have, you know, the Santa shop they do at school for the kids. I've been, you know, pretty much doing that all week and working and then going to Girl Scouts and, you know, just being a mom.
I wanted to ask you, the question today is like, you know, we're talking about homelessness. Christmas is coming around the corner and we do the Chris Kringle Drive, Street Queens of Movement, Lush Radio Online. E2K heads it all the time. Emma's going to be at Mimosas collecting gifts to make another child, you know, because some parents, you know, might be working so much they can't afford to get gifts this year. You know, I remember a time when I couldn't even afford. I had just got my divorce, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't even have enough money to buy my child anything for Christmas. And somebody came along, this lady, when I was going to the military hospital for therapy, had bought my daughter something, a brand-new stroller and everything, and I was like, wow, you know, that's a blessing, you know, and, you know, how do you feel about, you know, the whole thing of, you know, people being homeless at this time and also, you know, giving back, and what are something things that you think that you've done to give back in 2010?
Well, I always think about the homelessness situation because I was a homeless child or a teenager for a while before I was in foster care. And
you there, Natalia?
Hello? Yeah. I don't know what my phone did. No, what I was saying is a homeless, you know, child and having to live on the streets and, you know, sleep on park benches, that is something that I do not take for granted. And my children know about that. I've been, you know, as a new time, you know, I first became a mom, it was so rough. I mean, I never signed up for Toys for Tots, you know, before because I didn't have kids. And it was the point that I couldn't even, you know, didn't even think there was going to be a Christmas. And, you know, I lived in Orlando, and I went to the, you know, Salvation Army. And if it wasn't for Toys for Tots, for 2 years, that's my kids got was the toys from Toys for Tots. And
how we do
the return, because I tell them it's a circle. When we go to Walmart, I go to the kid tree and to the senior citizen tree. Because there's a lot of senior citizens that are in these homes that they're not with their family. You know, I pick off a little thing, see what they want, buy them, like, a little robe. Same with a child, and we donate back. We've also donated toys to the Toys for Tots, knowing that that was a program that I had implemented and had to use in the past. I knew how much it meant to me to provide a Christmas, so I don't have a problem giving back because this is the time of the year when it's about family, and some of us don't have family that are there to see the kids, and, you know, I'm glad we have programs like you guys are doing, the toy drive, and there's a lot of resources that parents can look into if they know about in their communities that will help them with Christmas.
Yeah, and also even with the parents that are, you know, they might be out of food, not have food to eat and stuff and everything during the Christmas time and everything. There's food banks in your local area. If you can research or find those local food banks, Salvation Armies and stuff like
Catholic
that.
Catholic charities, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of these churches are definitely helping people out, you know. And for some reason, I think more than ever this year, I see more people coming together to help each other out than ever before. I don't know why. I don't know what the motivation. I just know that more people than I know me and Emma's been doing it for a while, and, you know, we barely see people come out, but, like, it's been more people coming out to support than ever. I guess, you know, maybe the whole recession thing has kind of, like, opened people's eyes and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And definitely to our soldiers out there, you know, they're not spending their Christmas with their family. They're spending their Christmas, you know, overseas fighting a war, you know, and stuff like that. You know, sometimes, you know, we can send some cards to some of these soldiers overseas, you know, find out the VA hospital, the Red Cross, and send some of these soldiers care packages or something over there, make them feel good, you know, because they without their family. And, you know, and some of these children, too, you know. You know, some of them, you know, have lost their husband or their wives during a war, and they're barely making it because, you know, the military only give you but so much, and then you still got to make it, you know. So we got to think about other people other than ourselves and stuff like that, you know, when it comes into this Christmas season. And you know what, do you think that, you know, what does giving back actually mean to you? What does giving back mean to you, Natalia?
Yeah, I'm here. giving back, it means to me that I'm, you know, able to, I'm on the opposite end of, you know, having to ask for help. And giving, you know, giving back could be, you know, in regards to watching someone's child, helping out with errands, making an older person dinner for them while, you know, they've been sick. The giving back part, I love the way it makes you feel. Like, it makes you feel so good to know that you did something nice for someone, even if they didn't want it or need it. Some people have a lot of pride and they would rather be alone and not have food than to ask. And I think when we notice stuff about people and we just go out of our way, just the giving back, I love the feeling that you get from giving to someone. I sit here and I think about how God, you know, it hurt him so bad to give, you know, lose his son in such a manner. But yet he loved us so much that he let his son die in the manner he did because it was for all of us. And, you know, it makes me feel good knowing, well, my Lord did the ultimate sacrifice for us. What is us to go and, you know, drop some food off at the food pantry, to go donate a toy here or for coat drives, you know, when our Father gave us the best gift ever. So, you know, I think, you know, pass along the like, you pass along a smile, you pass along a good deed. And
Definitely. And that's definitely the truth. And you know, they always say that, you know, when you give back or do something kind for somebody, that it always comes back to you tenfold, you know. It might be that time when you're standing in line and you don't have enough to, you know, get that food or get that certain thing that you need, you know what I'm saying, for, you know, your family, or get the groceries, and that person behind you, like, how much you need? You need $5, you know, and they give you that money, you know, not even knowing you for anything, you know. It's definitely, you know, a good thing. And I really believe that people need to definitely, you know, support, you know, the whole situation that's going on right now to help these children, man, for real, that's out here going through it. Because some of these kids are raising themselves, man, out here.
Yeah.
You know? And it's getting more, it's more and more children that are homeless. And the other thing that I don't understand about these shelters is that, especially the women's shelters, I don't feel like there's enough women's shelters out there for these young ladies out here that are going through it. And then if they're the shelters, some of the shelters, the orderlies or whoever that's working over there, sometimes these women are getting, you know, violated. Sometimes they're being treated like dogs, you know. Sometimes the facilities aren't well kept. You know, children are getting sick and stuff like that. But it seems like they have more shelters for men, and they're being treated more decent, which I have a problem with that, especially these women with children. It makes no sense, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and,
you're right.
And it's sad. I don't know, have you seen how some of these shelters are out there? I don't know how they are out there in Florida and stuff. How are they out in Florida?
Well, the shelters I've dealt with in the past were with domestic violence, a place that I volunteered at. I haven't been to really any, like, the homeless shelters out here where in Pensacola. I've heard of people that I've worked with, you know, having to go there. And, you know, they complain about, you know, having, you know, the kids and the situation that they were in. Matter of fact, the lady, most recently, one of the ladies I worked with, her daughter, her, you know, her boyfriend used to beat her up. She went to one of the shelters, and all three of them, the two kids and her, got body lice or something. The bed bugs. You know, the bed bugs.
They were bitten by bed bugs.
Yeah.
That was the same situation that I found, too.
Yeah, and they got kicked out of the homeless shelter. They were told not that they brought those in here. She was like, we didn't have this before we came here. You know, we got it from here. We were here one night. You know, and they told her that she had to leave. They ended up helping her, you know, within a month, you know, get an apartment and everything for her and her children. But she was very traumatized about what she had to go through to do that. And, you know, like, you're right, there's not a lot of resources for women out here on the streets, especially now it's getting cold. I know it's nowhere near cold like how y'all are cold, but Florida right now is very chilly, and we're in the 30s right now, and I think, wow, like, I was homeless in the summertime. I could not imagine being homeless during the wintertime. You know, it was a pain in the butt already having to find somewhere to sleep, you know, a park bench, you know, a slide, you know, the things you had to utilize as a bed, you know, as a teenager I had. And I see and I wonder, like, how many kids that we see that we don't see that are walking around in the woods, you know, trying to find somewhere to keep warm for the night. That breaks my heart.
Definitely. It's a lot of children that are trying to find a place and adults, and I just imagine that a woman with her children, you know, trying to find a place that's warm. And even with the VA hospital that I was hospitalized at, you know, it's some veterans that come in there just to, you know, be warm and sit in the front and lay down and go to sleep because there's no shelter for them. And I want to say shout out to Warm Nights. It's if you call the homeless hotline, people, it's a 1-800 number in the DMV area. They basically usually have like these people that bring cots to different churches, and they allow you to sleep and everything and stuff like that, and everything. You know, it's co-ed though. You got guys and you got females, but you know they always bring like clothes and things for kids and everything like that. But it's like they house you in shelters on cots, and then they also have one in the Maryland area. They have one homeless shelter for women, and that one is called Shepherd's Cove. Sometimes, you know, the women, you know, the children get sick. Sometimes the food is stale and everything. But I feel like some of these shelters should accept more help from outside people that want to help these young women and children. But they're kind of really, like, selective and you know, funny about it. I mean, if they want to do a screening, they could do a screening. But it's like almost like they don't want the help for the children because they're getting their paycheck from just being over there, some of the people that work there, and sometimes they treat them women very nasty, and half of the stuff that people bring over there, some of them just take the stuff and never give it to the women. I've seen that firsthand myself, you know.
Because like you were saying, like there not being enough spots for women and children, you know, I've seen and I've heard of people getting turned away because, you know, due to the lack of only women, you know, and children facilities, because like you're saying, there's more men than there are women. Some of these women are getting turned away with their kids. There's not a spot for them. And, you know, you bring this up, makes, you know, brings it to people's realization that, you know, this is a problem that's is an unseen problem that, you know, it's not in our faces, so we don't pay attention or worry about it, but we got to think about it. You know, there's women out here that have getting turned away because there's no room for them or their kids. And that's very, you know, very sad to just see the struggle that a lot of these women are going through.
Definitely. And people, for some reason, I don't know if people are just arrogant or they just, you know, they just want, you know, just, you know, narrow-minded. But some people think that people being homeless have to be raggedy and look a certain way. A homeless person can be clean-looking just like you and be working at a job but have nowhere to live, you know? You know, I don't know the people's different classifications of being homeless, but they can work at a 9-to-5 job and still have nowhere to live with their children, and they have to go to a shelter every night, you know? And they got to be back in at a certain time or they won't allow them in. I've seen the shelters turn women away.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's a sad situation, but, you know, it's a situation that we have to try to do what we can. I know the year before last, I made a lot of sandwiches and bags of food and stuff, and I bought a whole bunch of bread and sandwich meat. And there's, you know, where they usually, the Hispanics stand over there, the men stand over there for work and everything. I mean, these guys either been there for several days, haven't had meals in days, and all they want to do is work to feed their family, and they're hungry, you know. And I took some food over there, and I'm telling you, they were so hungry. I took bottles of water. They were so hungry. They almost ripped the whole entire door. They were, like, so hungry. And then I went to a bus stop close to where the, you know, the shelter was, the lady, female shelter that I used to be at. And because they're real funny about, you know, there's women bringing stuff and everything like that. So I see to see if there was any women, and that was a young lady with her daughter. Her nose was running and everything, and I felt so bad for her. She was waiting at the bus stop, and there was another guy, and he looked hungry. So I gave them bags of food and gave her extra stuff for her daughter and stuff like that, and my peoples gave her, like, some money and everything, you know, because, hey, that could be us, anybody, you know. It's just really sad, you know. We have to give back, you know, as much as we can. I mean, I know we all don't have everything and we don't have a lot, but, you know, we can try our best to do what we can, you know what I'm saying? Because if it was any one of us, we would want somebody to extend their hand to us too, you know?
I know. It just got brought to my attention this week how, you know, with the unemployment checks, that there's been an increase in women. Like, after you get your last check and you can't get no more, a lot of women are having to call DCF and say, I need you to come get my kids. I can't feed them. I can't take care of them. And it was all over the radio news, and they're saying it's so sad, you know, as a mother, to have to make that call because you can't, you don't have the means, you're not making enough, or, you know, from your unemployment checks, or, you know, looking for a job, can't get one, that you have to sit there and call someone to come get your children because you can no longer care for them. And it really opened my eyes, like, wow. Like, I know we're in a recession, we're having it bad, but for it to be, like, such a jump, they said, of women having to do their parents, having to, you know, give their kids up so they can, you know, they know that their kids are getting fed and have a place to live. It's very, very serious.
And it hurts more as a mother because we're the nurturer and we always try to, you know, protect our children from going through struggles and trials and tribulations. But to see your children, you know, and, you know, your children not knowing that you're not eating, you know, in order for them to eat, you know, it hurts. I mean, it was days where I didn't even know if I was going to make it. I said, at least if my daughter can eat, I'll be all right, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's... it's sad, you know, having to make that decision and making that decision to have to give your child up because you can't afford it. They're now, from what I heard, allegedly they're trying to cut off unemployment. From now, with the whole Republican situation, they're trying to cut off unemployment. So once they do that, what do people have to live on now? What can they do? You know, they're cutting that. You know, they're cutting all these cuts and stuff, and it's like, you know, I'm not understanding. You know, it's like there's no middle class anymore. At one time, there was a middle class, you know, the rich, and there was the poor. Now you can't even say that there's a middle class. You're either poor or you're rich, you know. And, I mean, with this recession, I guess people are trying to come together and do what they can to help each other and stuff like that because everybody is struggling. Nobody can honestly say that, you know, they're living really, really good. You know, okay, I don't care if they're a rapper. I don't care if they're a singer. They're in the industry. You know what I'm saying? They still got to make ends meet in order to make to live their extravagant life. I know they're not getting paid like they used to get paid to perform and stuff like that because people don't got the money. So people got to cut deals and stuff like that. So, I mean, this recession is hitting everybody. As much as they want to fake and funk like they still live under, how can you try to have glitz and glam and rock big old jewels and all that stuff when you know people is in a recession and you don't have nothing to show for yourself? You don't have a house to live in or nothing, you know?
Mm-mm.
It's crazy.
You are right.
It's crazy. You know, and it's just sad, and I hope that people of America, you know, can, you know, definitely, you know what I'm saying, open up their hearts and maybe their homes to help out somebody other than themselves, you know. They can definitely help out a child or even a family, you know. I know some people that even take in families, you know what I'm saying, you know, to help them out, you know, and, you know, you never know. You know, you could take in, you know, even with the adopting a child just for that season or whatever, to make sure that their Christmas season is nice or give them a warm place to stay. You know, there's so many kids out here. It's getting younger and younger. They're babies having babies. They're getting kicked out the house, you know. And it's just really sad. And I want to pull up some statistics on in regards to, you know, basically, you know, how many people out here, you know, are actually going through, how many people are actually homeless going into 2010, you know, the statistics of, you know, how many people are homeless, you know, nowadays. Are there any things that they have in Florida used that that they have or resources for people that are homeless or people that are going through it in Florida right now, Natalia?
Well, I mean, they have, of course, Salvation Army and Catholic Charities, the food pantries. Not along with Toys for Tots, I've had to use the food pantry when we didn't have food, and I wasn't, my job wasn't, I wasn't making nothing, getting barely hours. You can use that. We have the Fish and Loaves, which is was the shelter, and they help you move into your own home. And in regards to Fish and Loaves. Yeah, well, a couple of the homeless shelters, like especially if you're a parent and your kids there, they will help you with a deposit and help you get moved into your own apartment. Now, of course, they have rules. They show up at your house. They kind of tell you who can be there and who can't. But, you know, when you're in a situation like that, anything is great. And we've had, like, you know, we do around the nation, the Toys for Tots drive. You can go to your Walmart and, you know, all the different stores they have in the mall, they have a little donation box. That's why I recommend everybody just, you know, it doesn't even have to be that hard. A lot of us have clothes that we never wear. I mean, just take some stuff up and drop it off to one of the shelters at downtown or wherever, you know, y'all live at in your city. You know, there's a lot of toys that kids outgrow so quick. The little electronic stuff, you know, the kids buy and they quit playing them a week later. Donate a lot of stuff because these kids are, what's minimal to us is a lot to a child. I remember being young as hell, and living out of suitcase. And I would have killed anybody for my suitcase because that suitcase held everything that I lived like the last 15 years. It held everything. And it's hard for people to wrap their mind around just having everything you own in one suitcase. Toothbrushes, brush, if you have a brush, two pairs of jeans, a book, and a little journal. And that's what I would walk around the streets with. So, I mean, just I think that if one person just donated somehow something, your older clothes, go buy a new toy. It don't even have to be that brand new, just in good condition. It would totally just, you know, it would make a little child's day. You know, you got to keep that Christmas face up. You know, Santa ain't real. Of course they know that, but it's that faith that's in all of us.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. And I mean, we all know Santa ain't real, but you know, just to be that Santa Claus for that child, you know, we definitely need to help those children and stuff. As many as 3.5 million Americans are homeless each year. Of these, more than 1 million children. And on any given night, more than 300,000 children are homeless. That's crazy, you know. That's really crazy. And that's sad, you know. And the top causes of homelessness is either, you know, abandonment, you know, the whole recession, people losing their jobs. A lot of people don't ask to be homeless, you know. Or some people are suffering from PTSD, some of the old veterans, and they, you know, they start using the drugs and everything to take the pain away and things like that. And, you know, they get stuck on that stuff. And the children, some of them are, you know, just homeless because they're running away from abuse or different things like that. And Emma put together this wonderful thing we've been doing the past couple years, you know, the Kris Kringle Drive. Right now they're live in Mimosas at 9 o'clock to definitely, you know, do what they do. And I think we got Emma live on the line with us tonight. Emma, you there, Queen? Peace.
Peace, Queen, peace. Yeah, I had called in earlier, but I was in, like, in the dressing room in the middle of running out of Mandy's over here in the Bronx, running to the club. I have, like, the car packed. I feel like Santa right now.
Oh, miss Emma. You, Emma.
Who's down the line?
That's Natalia on the line.
Peace, Queen, peace.
Peace. I just want to say I miss you guys.
I miss you too, boo. I miss you too. We're here hard working in the, on the pain, you know. It never stops. My sister come out the hospital, I got to come out to the field, you know.
Emma, I wanted to know, so your Kris Kringle, I wanted to send out, I know it'll probably be cheaper just to send a check than it would be to mail up any toys.
Yes, you can.
I need to get that information just so I can donate to y'all.
Not a problem. I'll send that to your inbox, and not even. I can tell you the address is 1237.
Oh, I don't got no pen and paper.
I'll inbox you, but I'll let the people know in case they're listening. 1237 Castle Hill Avenue, Bronx, New York, 10462, and the place is called Mimosa's Lounge. It's Mimosa's Lounge, and you can mail it out out there, you know, to the club, and they'll receive it, and they'll hold on to it. And, you know, until we can be able to wait for the 22nd, which it'll be the actual, our ninth year, able, you know, God blesses us to be able to do this for the kids. You know, we're having our fundraiser today, and there's a lot of calls, people already there waiting. So it's actually real exciting. People are coming out in full force, and I'm so happy because especially like the people in the Bronx, man, BX better stand up. I don't want to hear nobody say, oh, I got the Bronx on my back, and when we do events like this, they don't even show up. But yeah, you tell them I'm doing a video or popping bottles, they're front and center. So shame on you if you don't come out and support and take care of your kids and take care of your families out here in the BX, but you're willing to come out for a party. But I'm out here. You know, left my kids, you know what I'm saying, sacrificing my kids in another state. I came over here, me and Liz, we're on the check-in, on our way to the club, and we're going to make it happen, and we're going to count like the Jerry kids. We're going to count down. $100, $200, $500, don't count FBI as long as we're around.
Well, I wish I was with y'all now.
I wish you was, man. But my sister, this is like actually, I think this is like, because me and Emma have been knowing each other, what, like 2-3 years now? Or
yes.
Whatever, and Street Queens, Les Ray have been a part of this for like 2-3 years now, but this is her 9th year, so she's been doing it for a long time and stuff, and I really feel like a lot of people are coming together now for some reason, and they're coming through. They came out for the Give Thanks dinner, and this is one that we hold close to our heart because this could be any one of us, and anybody's been homeless before with children know how hard it is if you don't have it to try to just put that smile on your child's face, so this means a lot to us, you know, for real.
Especially what you were speaking about earlier about the recession, you know, about the unemployment. They're about to cut unemployment off like crazy. January,
yeah.
They're taking off 2 million people. By February, it'll be 4 million people not collecting unemployment. So it's going to be serious. And if we don't really come out and really help each other out, it's going to be even more serious than that. You know what I mean? So, you know, none of us are rich, and we don't got it like that. But if you got a little extra, don't be afraid to give it, because God is going to make sure you get that 10 times fold. You just got to walk in faith.
Definitely. And that's definitely the truth, you know. And, Emma, what does giving back mean to you, Emma?
Giving back means my mission in life, really, because that's all I do is always give back, you know. Sometimes I get upset at myself. I'm giving so damn much, you know, but... Because with everything, there's got to be a balance, sis. You know what I mean? There's always got to be a balance. Everything, even in giving, you got to create a balance. It's not good to always do a lot of one certain thing. So, you know, once in a while, I get a little selfish with myself, but then I'll come back to and I keep giving. I'm always giving. That's why my phone never stops ringing. People always calling me, see if I got. And if I got it, you know, sometimes I just got to duck the phone calls. but no, that's a lot. I don't duck them. You know, I'm here. Whatever I can do, I do it because I do it so unselfishly. I always find that I got, you know, God got me. So whoever I can get for him and on his behalf, then that's what I'm going to do.
Definitely. And Emma, I don't even have to ask her what she's done to give back in 2010, because Emma gives back every single day. Since I know her, she gives back. So, you know,
yes.
She's been giving back all her life. So,
then this is
you know.
Too long. And your show is about to end, so there's not enough time for me to really tell you. You know, oh, you know what? I can tell you this. Google me, and you'll see everything I've done. Google me.
I love you, Emma. I hope you have a wonderful night tonight, girl.
I love you too, Emma.
Just keep us in prayer that those numbers keep continue to go up and we're able to be very successful, because not only for the drive, you know, we have teenage moms that are coming through that day, so we can be able to provide for them, and there's certain families that are, you know, are going without this year. So there's a lot of people we're taking care of, but, you know, it's just not just open to the public, but there's a couple of organizations that are coming through and that we're going to be able to provide for. Along with that, I just want to say thank you to George from Moreau College. He's a professor there that teaches business classes for women, and him and his class raised up $100 for the cause, for the toy drive. So definitely shout out to George.
Definitely. Aww. And definitely shout out the address again for people who want to donate and definitely support our toy drive.
From Vista, California. Gina from Vista, California also sent us a package of toys. So shout out to her as well.
Wow, shout out to her.
Yeah,
give them the address again, sis.
1237 Castle Hill Avenue, Bronx, New York, 10462. Or you can just hit me up on my Facebook, Emma E2K. I'm going to have it every day till the toy drive. I will have the address posted up on there. All checks and money orders go to E2K Magazine, and that will be mailed in a different address. So if you're gonna send monetary donations, that'll be a different address. That's actually P.O. Box 17778, Philadelphia, PA 19135. So for monetary is a different address, and for the actual toys is a different address. And thank you, everybody, for your support and your love. And I'm in front of the club, and I got a park. And just keep us in prayer for tonight.
Definitely, man. Make sure you support, man, and give those toys to those children and make some child smile, you know, tonight or any other night, man, because, man, it takes a village to raise a child.
Since we're collecting all the way to the 21st, so whoever don't make it actually tonight, they can always stop by here at the same address till the 21st. They can ask for Monique, and Monique is here collecting, so they can feel free. You know, everybody, some people are calling me, like, I can't make it today. Well, good for you because you got to the 21st. How about that?
Definitely. And we got Queen Ebony live on the line. Peace, Queen. We was just saluting Emma because we're doing this Kris Kringle drive to collect toys and donations to put a smile on the child's face this Christmas.
Peace, Queen.
Peace.
Hey, girl.
Peace.
I've been listening in, and that's a wonderful thing that Emma and her crew is doing for the community. I applaud her.
Everything in the back. All right, I'm about to take everything out of the car right now. I'm going to take some of the toys that we have already. So I love ya. And like I said, keep us in prayer. Hey,
okay,
Mom.
Okay,
I'll be praying for you, Emma.
Come help me over here, huh? Okay, so I love ya. Bye.
I'm almost off the hook, man. But this is something that we definitely, you know, Lush Radio on Street Queens and Movement always sponsors. We've been going with her for like 3 years or so in this situation, and now this is the 9th year, and you know, a lot of people are coming together. Phone's been ringing off the hook, and we want you guys to definitely continue to support, man, because some child out there, we want to try to put a smile on their face, and we also found a teen homeless shelter, actually, that they just lost their grant, so we're trying to make their Christmas, you know, kind of, you know, happy or joyful, you know, because, you know, everybody, you know what I'm saying, you know, needs somebody, and with them about to cut all this unemployment, a lot of people are going to have some rough times, and this ain't no play stuff, but like Natalia said, some women are giving up their children to their family because they don't even have enough to make it, you know. And we have the beautiful Ebony on the line. Ebony, tonight we're talking about Christmas is around the corner and talking about the homelessness and the cold going around, and also the fact that, you know, during Christmas a lot of people are homeless, and, you know, we're talking about giving back. What does giving back mean to you, and what have you done to give back in 2010?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So right now, on December 18th, we are going to the homeless. We're going downtown in San Diego. I'm Eastern Star, so my chapter is going, well, actually about 7 or 8 chapters are getting together, and we're going down there just to pass out brown bag sandwiches for the homeless. So that's what we're doing, and I always also join Toys for Tots and volunteer my help to wrap up the gifts and make sure that the kids are distributed, you know, and the toys are distributed. And we also, you know, have a big old celebration at that, you know, on that day. So it's prepared, it's planned, and we just watch the kids have a great time. And, you know, the season is for the kids, but we do have to remember that, you know, Christmas and, you know, how season is just about just giving, just gifts, you know. It's also for people who are actually working paycheck to paycheck, you know, some of them are unable to afford, you know, gifts and things like that because this economy is, you know, has shaken a lot of people's pockets, and they're just, you know, making it from day to day. So, you know, at the times like this, you know, you need to remember that it's about being with your family, being able to appreciate the things that you do have, and, you know, making it count with memories more than just, you know, just gifts.
Definitely. And what does giving back mean to you?
I have a really big heart, and I'm always giving back, so it just means to give freely, you know, give freely, give of your time, and enjoy seeing happy.
Definitely, man. I think we got our king on the line. We got Bugsy live on the line from Boston. Boston, thanks for joining us tonight, Bugsy. What it do? The queens on the line, Ebony and Natalia.
You already know. Salute to the queens. How y'all doing tonight?
What's up, Bugs? How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, took a day off from the grind, man, kicking it with my little man. You know, I had to get that daddy time in. This is back to business.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, I try to get it in. Oh man, but I see we got the good topic tonight, man. You talk about that good old giving back, man.
Yeah, we definitely talking about giving back and talking about homelessness and stuff, you know. What does giving back mean to you as an individual, and what have you done to give back in 2010? We had our queen live, Emma. I've been a part of this with her for going on 3 years, but this is her 9th year of giving back by doing the Kris Kringle Drive and the Give Thanks Dinner that we did. Not too long ago, we had a lot of people show up. Pun's wife, AG, from Digging in the Crates was there, 950 plus. A lot of people came out and supported. I donated stuff, you know what I'm saying, and we fed a lot of people. And, you know, this Kris Kringle thing, I really hope that, you know, a lot of people come together and definitely support, because you can shout out your hood as much as you want to, but if you can't support your hood, then what good are you at the end of the day? You know what I'm saying? So, but tell us, you know, how do you feel on the topic of the homelessness going on Christmas time, and the checks about to get cut off soon, the unemployment checks, and you know, what does giving back mean to you, and what have you given back in 2010, Bugsy?
I mean, giving back, like Ebony said, man, you know, get that time, you know, you always gotta, you know, be there for people, you know, small things count. You know, you may say, you know, you ain't got it like that yourself to be doing that. But, you know, just being there, or even giving a little something, you know, it always helps. But as far as giving back, man, I mean, I always get that hood love. You know, if I'm in the store, I see the little, you know, little youngins in the store, man, you know, buy them a little something, tell them to stay in school, man. You know, I keep it moving. Only ones I don't support, you know, is them bums out in front of the liquor store trying to get their nips on, man. Everybody else get that hood love when it come to me, man. But basically, as far as just that giving, man, like I said, get that time, man. You know, people go through a lot, you know, especially with this Christmas thing, man. Like I said, you know, I'm a force it real hard in this music we're going to drop soon. But I call this, it's just a slave gimmick. Like, everybody's caught up in this material world. Like, the TV got us brainwashed. We need to go buy this. We need to get that. You know, at the end of the day, you can have all that, but it's only going to last you so long. You know what I mean? And it gets you nowhere. You know what I mean? So, you know, don't get caught up in the media. Oh, there's sales going on. Buy one, get one free. Buy this. You know, teach your kids it's more about receiving something, because when they get older, they're always going to look for something. And when you get old, Christmas ain't about gifts. It's about, you know, just trying to make it to that next day. So, you know, don't feed up into the media hype like that, or spending your money on this bullshit, man. You know, pay your bills, get that roof over your head, and do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You never lied about that. You want to touch on that subject, Ebony?
Giving back to the community, and also with the sharing, you know, just sharing blessings, period. You don't have to just pick one day of the year to bless people. I mean, I'm actually blessing a family now, and you know, it's a little bit of topsy-turvy situation, but, you know, you do things because your heart, you know, and because you have a good spirit and you want to help people. But sometimes, you know, when you give with expectations, you'll be always, you know, you'll be disappointed. So that's why I say when you give freely, and always give from your heart. Don't give with, you know, expectations.
Definitely, because expectations, sometimes, you know, you could be, you know, disappointed about expectations when dealing with people. So if you give from the heart, and you know how they say, you know, when you give, it comes back 10-fold. It might be a situation when you need somebody at that time, and that person comes for you out of nowhere, don't know you from Adam and Eve, but they help you due to the fact that, you know, you've given it one time of your life or one period in your life. And sometimes giving can be, you know, giving out your time or just listening to somebody that needs help at that moment. Or maybe it might be even a situation where, you know, you might have to, you know, definitely, you know, a person might need finances or something, or just somebody to, you know, take them, give them a ride, you know, to school, and they have no car, and it might be cold outside. You know, just that human compassion. I think that's natural human compassion, to be able to help thy neighbor. you know?
Right, but nowadays we don't even know our neighbor. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, too. But you know what? I don't like the people that do something for you and hold it down the line. Well, I did this for you. I'm going to tell you like this, people. If you got to do something to say that to people down the long run, don't even do it, man. Like, that's what I tell people for me, man. Like, if you're going to do something for me and use that against me down the line, I'd rather you not even do it. Keep it moving. Because I hate for somebody to say, well, I did this for you and I did this for that person. You did it because you want to. Don't do it for me. Do it because you want to. You know what I mean? Like, stop doing that to hold that up people's head, man, because it's not going to get you nowhere.
Right.
Definitely, and that's the truth. And there's a lot of people out there that definitely do that, but they want that instant gratification for some apparent reason. Like, what do you expect to get?
Right.
What do you expect to get out of the situation? You know? I mean, they supposed to be indebted to you forever? They supposed to give their, like, you know what I'm saying, whole entire life to you because you did something to them? Or they always constantly obligated to you? That makes no sense. You know,
That's why you should give freely. And giving, it comes from the heart, you know. And that's when you're acting. See, there's a difference between helping someone out and just giving. You know what I'm saying? And people sometimes they get that misconstrued. You know, if you ask for something and I give it to you, you know, with conditions, then, you know, it's time to pay back. But, you know, if I see something that's going on and I offer you a ride, then I'm not going to say, well, I gave you a ride last time, so you need to give me a ride this time, or I gave you a ride. And, you know, that's giving with expectations, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
like it's a free will situation. And, you know, you should just look at your neighbor and help out your neighbor. And it does come back to you. Even if you don't have anything to give personally, like you said, talk to someone that, you know, say hello to somebody, you know, smile at somebody, you know, walk up to a stranger and say hello. That
yeah,
because
like you never
might
know.
Need
you,
a
might,
smile.
You might be that one to save that person's life that day because they might need to talk. You might have been the one, they might have nobody to talk to, and you might be that one person to talk to them to save their life before they commit suicide, God forbid. You know, so every little thing is not always about that actual item, a materialistic thing. And what the United States of America has done and the government has done is has basically conduced and basically programmed people that they need to go and buy an item in order to have instant gratification and put this facade of this so-called thing, because I don't even want to get into the whole myth, even though it's really a pagan holiday at the end of the day, Christmas, you know, so, I mean, this is, and Jesus actually was not born on Christmas, you know, if you want to get technical about the situation, you know, so, I mean, you know, it's you know, the government, you know, the government plays on the of a person who was Saint Nicholas, and makes this figment of imagination for these children to have false hope on, and then puts these infamous emphasis and puts the pressure because the father and the mother are the Santa Claus. And when these
mm-hmm.
parents have no money and you're taking away their unemployment, you're taking away their means of living, you're taking away everything, what else does an American individual have to do but to rob, steal, and get into trouble because they got to get it how they live? And then you put this pressure on the parents, and they don't have it, so they got to steal
right.
in order to satisfy their kids. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like you wondering why people go being depressed and stuff. This will make you depressed. You've already brainwashed people to think that they have to have this desperation and basically get their children what they need. And it could be something $100, $200, or even $50, and they might not have it. They barely have enough to eat. Sometimes they'll go without eating so their child can have what they need. But their child doesn't
right.
know because we as parents try to nurture our children and try to protect them from the things that we're going through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's true, Les, too. But that go back to what I said last week. And like I said, man, like, you know, as soon as this music drop, give me a couple of months. I say beginning of next year, I'm going to make $211 a year for the music to drop. But, like, it's like I go so strong with this. Like, I call it And I hope y'all don't steal it because I'm going to get on y'all if y'all do. Only I can do it. But I call it slave tactics because it's just like, you know, these rappers, they talk about they chains and they whips and all this other stuff. And kids listen to that. And then they go, Mommy, I want that. Mommy, I seen this in a video. So to all these artists out here, like, I understand, you know, you made it from something and now you got it. But don't let that be the only thing they see. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta give more than just all that money that you're spending on these jewels and these grills and these bottles you're popping. Because kids look at that and they want to do the same thing, man. Teach them, you know, mm-hmm. stay in school, get good jobs, and you know, get that real estate. Buy landed property, get some tenants, man. I'm tired of all these dudes with these chains and diamonds. Get a building with some tenants and show me where that 30-day money at. That's what I want to say.
Well, I think that whomever has a certain bracket of income anyway should be given back to their community. I think that should be mandated. That's just me.
And
that's why they need to go to where they're right. They need to first give to their school, where they, you know, where they elementary, high school, college, what have you, and then give to their community. Because if you honestly think about it, they have useless items. You can't take it with you.
Yeah,
definitely.
Anything that you take loses its value once it's off of the property, point blank. It decreases in value. It gets unappreciated. You know what I'm saying? And all these jewels, especially having, even people in the industry, I mean, come on, let's stop playing this facade. Even though you might see them doing all that and they do positive, they still suffering from this recession also themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Because they still trying to pull in from this event to for them to go on their vacation or whatever they want to do. They still got to pull from this means. I know some old school rappers and some of these cats is barely making it. That's in the industry, you know.
Because they blowing that money. They blowing that money, man. I guarantee you, if they were to buy them some property, Lush, they get paid every 30 days. That money be coming in. They get that long money instead of that short money.
Or that residual income, invest in something to where they're getting some residual income.
Definitely, definitely. Everybody's hurting this whole situation, and then it's just sad. Like, I implore people, look for your food banks in your area. We got the World Wide Web food banks, 411, homeless hotline for at least a
food
warm
kitchen.
Bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and soup kitchens, Toys for Tots. If you are in a New York area in the Bronx and you have a child, come to the Kris Kringle event, which will be on the 22nd in the Bronx. You know, please, you know what I'm saying, churches, anywhere, you know, try to get out of that cold because we have so many people dying of hypothermia and everything, you know, from the cold, you know. And some of these people that we call winos too, sometimes, you know, alcohol warms you up. So sometimes they're drinking the alcohol because they're trying to stay from freezing.
Warm.
Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot
sometimes.
Of these people out here are Vietnam vets that still haven't recovered from Vietnam. When I was
mm-hmm.
when I was admitted in the hospital, there were some Vietnam vets over there that have abused their bodies due to the fact of the after effects of PTSD from war, you know, and they're homeless, you know, and it's a very, very sad thing, and it's just sad because that could be any one of us, you know,
mm-hmm.
any one of us, you know. And, you know, I really, really hope that, you know, that we can, you know, somehow give back. I mean, any way people can. I know everybody's going through it. Even if you can make a couple of sandwiches, man. You see somebody at the bus stop, you know, ride around if you can. If you see somebody that looks like they, you know, give them a sandwich or something. Like I said earlier today, my people's a young man came up to him and said, you know, everybody was passing them by, ignoring them. Came up to my feet. He said, look, man, I know Christmas is coming around. He said, look, you don't even have to give me no money. I'm so hungry. I'm about to fall out. I need some food. Please feed me. My people took him over to the little chicken shed, jump off, got him like 5 wings and some fries and a soda. And the dude said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know what I'm saying? It's people out there that are hungry, man. Hungry.
Most
it's not a game right now. you know. It's some people that went without getting a Thanksgiving dinner or getting a food, getting a meal, you know, every day. You know, you got children out there that are hungry too. In the United States of America, I mean, the U.S., we put so much money in foreign policy and going overseas, you know, and I'm African, but you know what I'm saying? They got help over there. We got so many people here in the United States of America that people are suffering and the children are suffering. They ain't in foster care places and they barely getting anything. They barely eating at these foster homes. You know what I'm saying? You know, they getting abused and stuff, you know. They at these freaking places and these children are going through it. You know, the single mothers with their children, they barely can have, like, homeless shelters. They don't have that many homeless shelters for women actually out here. They don't. Mm-hmm. They got more homeless shelters for men than they have for women. And they turn women away with their children. And that's sad.
You know, it killed me too. Like somewhere I do be hating on the government to a point. Like when it comes to all this, you know, rushing to aid all these other countries and things like that. Like I understand you got to help, but like they doing all this helping out there, and they got so many problems in their own backyard. Like how you really that comfortable to just jump out and rush to help somebody else, and you got like the same issues in your backyard. So if you ever take care of their yard, but your yard is just as dirty, you know what I mean? Like, I really don't understand that part right there. They quick to run out, and well, I'm not going to say quick, but somewhat they are quick to run out there and jump and help, but still got their backyard looking a hot mess.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense that, you know, they always want to be the knight in shining armor, but really it's just a ploy to be there to get their gain out of the situation, you know what I'm saying, so that person, them people can be their next tax write-off. You know what I'm saying? Which is a whole bunch of BS. You know what I'm saying? Like, even, you know, I'm not saying that people like Jay-Z, even though it wouldn't hurt his pocket that much, Jay-Z or Oprah, you know what I'm saying, owe anybody any type of money and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. But if a cat like Jay-Z could go back to his projects in Marcy, that still is messed up. People still, this trash is still messed up. If he go back and clean up Marcy, you know what I'm saying, clean it up, like and make it nice for the kids and give back or do something. Who wants a freaking turkey? Like, clean up the area. You got bread, you know what I'm saying? What, give out a couple of turkeys? What if they don't got no stove to cook it on?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or you don't
you
have electricity or heat because your mother or your father is on crack.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Give him a hot meal. Like, it's not like he can't afford to, like, give out a couple of clothing from Rockaway to get to some of these kids that have no clothes. You know what I'm saying? Or Beyonce herself. You know what I'm saying? Or Oprah. Oprah want to go and they going to Africa and open it some water shit. You know, they want to be like Oprah. You know what I mean? I'm like, look, you know what I mean? Like, what about the kids out here?
Right. You see Brad Pitt,
Oprah over there freaking opening up a school and everything. What about the schools out here? You're talking about
right.
The kids don't appreciate education. But some of these kids don't even get a chance at really education because they're raising their family. Their mothers
right.
don't have time. They got to raise their brother and sister and take care of them before they even get a chance to go to school. Or they got to
right.
be able to cook food by the time they come back from school for their mother to eat and stuff like that, or cook for their brothers and sisters. Like, you know what I'm saying? These kids going
well,
through
you
it
know.
Right now. You know, and it's a sad situation. And like I said, man, it takes a village to raise a child, and we got to try to help each other more than ever, man, because it's getting close to the end of the days, man. I'm telling you, man, it's getting real crazy right now. You know what I'm saying? And then not too lately in the news, WikiLeaks, they released all this confidential information about the government's plans and stuff. I mean, I want to ask y'all about that. How y'all feel about that when they announced on the news that there was a breach of security and all these government documents were released online? How y'all feel about that?
I mean, I'm going to let Ebony go first, man. You know, ladies first.
That's, you know what, that's just really crazy, and it's a reason why. I mean, nothing happens by accident, and I'm a true, firm believer about that. Nothing happens by accident. I mean, things are being done to make our president look, you know, everything comes back to the president, and he gets blamed for it, whether or not he did it or not. It's like being a household and being the oldest child, you know, and anything happens, your mom blames you because you're the oldest. So since he's, you know, in charge or just of the, you know, because he's the president, he's getting blamed for it. They really just are just, you know, just doing just different things just to make our president look bad. And I don't think it was by accident at all. I think there was a reason why it happened. And, you know, people, the government wants our people to panic. They don't want people to be comfortable and just, you know, be able to live everyday life and, you know, like how we used to do back in the 70s and 80s. It's just like everything is chaotic. And once we feel like a little bit of normalcy, something else crazy is going to happen. And this is not the end of what's going to happen either.
Definitely. And that's
not
definitely. You never lied about that. You want to touch on that, Buzzy?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say she's 100% right on that, too. But what I want to tell people, too, is, like, as far as, like, that internet go, man, like, they're hackers out there, but 9 times out of 10, them hackers end up working for the government somewhere down the line. So the government got that internet thing on smash. So anything that's up there, best believe they letting it go up there, because if they don't want it up there, they shutting it down. Like, you already know, if they don't want something on the internet, it's gone. Craigslist, you know, they shutting it down. So as far as that internet stuff goes, man, the government, they wanted that to go through there. So like she said, that definitely wasn't an accident. But as far as,
but
like,
we
have satellites that can look inside of our house. Why can't they find out? I mean, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like that too.
We hit
like
a button and they can look inside of our house and see what we're doing at this point in time. If we say one wrong word regarding any type of terrorism, our phone call is going to be traced automatically.
Definitely.
So really, that's an accident? I don't think so.
See, my thing is like this. I've never seen this immense breach of security in my life, in my 29 years of living, of so much incapable and incompetent people in office. I mean, you know what I'm saying? One thing, you got Obama that gets on the plane with freaking stuff in his underwear. You know, you got people that crash a presidential event not detected. You get the whole Haiti thing, he's getting blamed for that situation. Knowing that they got simulations of hurricanes and stuff like that with their stuff they got in satellites. They develop all this technology and they can detect it before it happens. And then half of these hackers were working for the CIA, FBI, and have been trained to do this stuff. Okay, and from intelligence stating, from what they tell us, they say that whoever released the documentation worked for the government and released it. I guess he was pissed off, whatever, but now, I believe that I think we should have an open government. I think they should tell us everything that's going on. I don't think that we should be left in the dark about what's going on. I think there should be an open government. What is the point of having a democracy if really, honestly, it's not really a democracy, it's really dictatorship, because you're dictating the way we live, the way we breathe, the information you give us. This is a dictatorship, and using a democracy as a cover-up, you know?
But see, the reason why they can't do that is people will go crazy. People would go crazy. They can't, I mean, they give us information in different magnitudes. But if they gave us all the information they actually absorbed and what they knew and what, you know, special agents knew, normal people would go crazy.
That's why they
can't do it. And they will never do it. But they're just getting us ready.
A lot of people are not, you know, mentally able to find out certain things, and that's no matter what it is, small or big. Like, certain people can't handle it. Oh, there's no more Kool-Aid in the fridge. Oh my God, I'm about to lose my mind. I'm thirsty. You know what I mean? Like, little things like that. Like, a lot of people can't handle certain information.
But you know, the thing of it is I think also when they're making these movies and things like that, I think movies are created. I mean, people have a creation or what have you. But I think that, in my opinion, I believe that there's something going on as far as like government officials, like someone is leaking some type of information because we're getting used to what's going on. So when we see it, it's not going to be as shocking as seeing it the first time. I mean, if you look at all the different things that's going around, all the different stories, the UFOs, I mean, we've heard about UFOs so much that it's not even something that's even strange anymore. We've heard about, you know, there's planets on the moon. You know, it's not like it's so strange anymore. They give it to us like a medicine for like an infant. You give it to them in small dosages to where you think that they can where you think they can maintain it or comprehend it, or either it goes over their heads. They really don't care, but they give it to us in small dosages to see how we're gonna deal with it. And people are not proactive anymore. I mean, we have these conversations, and you know, and we have these panels, and we have these, you know, but everybody's not interested in community anymore. Everybody is out for self. People are so selfish. It's just ridiculous. You know, back in the day, when you think about, you know, the famine, what were people doing? They were helping each other out. They were a community. Everyone helped each other, and that's how people survived during those days. But now it's like everyone's for themselves.
You're not lying. What kills me on that, too, like, I don't understand how people don't think, like, If you're good on your own and you can do so much on your own, just imagine what you can do with, like, 10 other people that think the same way you think and move how you move. Like, if you got 10 of you and y'all are moving and you so-called can get it like that, and just think of what you can do, man. Like, yeah, you can get so much by yourself, but if you link up with, like, 10 other people and you want something positive and everybody's on the same page, just think of where you can take that at, man. Like, that working together is just it's so real, man. Like, co-ops definitely need to be made nowadays more often because You can knock out so much, you know what I mean? And you ain't got to worry about violence and stuff like that. People don't know, man. Cops bring all the attraction because when you got the murders and the kills, like, that's what brings the cops around your neighborhood or wherever you're at. So you cancel that out, you know, you can move a whole lot better in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I'm my brother's keeper, you know, am I my brother's keeper? Being your brother's keeper can keep your neighborhood safe.
Watch out
for someone else. You know, you hear, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were stating, you know, they heard bumping and screaming upstairs, you know, and heard, you know, a husband talking to a wife, you know, yelling at her basically, didn't know what was going on, but, you know, the comment was made, it's not none of my business. So, when, in the end, you don't hear any bumping and screaming anymore because he strangled her to death or killed her. You know, you had an opportunity to do something about it. Nobody is concerned about anybody else's business. It's like I'm self-centered, and it's not my business, it's not my situation. But that's not how it was back then. And then the respect factor is not there either. You know, the elderly are not respected like how they're supposed to be respected, even in the community of, you know, artists. You know, they're not respected as what they should be. Our lates and greats are not respected as what they should be. We have to get back to respecting, and I don't know how that's going to happen. It's going to happen one person at a time, but it's just chaos. The world is just chaos. We're not marching for anything. What are we marching? When was the last time somebody marched for a cause?
Yeah, but see, on that thing that you said, is I don't want to cut you off, Les, but that comment when she was like, you know, her people was like, it's none of my business. You know, I always tell people, you always got to think, like, what if it's your family member in that certain situation? You know what I mean? So, yeah, you may say it has nothing to do with you, but you always got to think, if your family member was in that situation, you would want somebody to help them too. So, you know, sometimes you just got to get off your ass, man, and just be that person. You know what I mean? Because you know what they say, what goes around comes around. So you definitely got to live with that.
Definitely, and you never lied about that one. And we definitely need to come together, because it's just really sad that, you know, that we don't understand the sense of understanding that, you know, we have been brainwashed for years and years with this Christmas thing, with some of these holidays, and we don't understand the actual meaning of survival and coming together. We were doing it in the past, and then it seemed like we lost the sense of doing that, and
mm-hmm.
and we're suffering now. Like, okay, if we came together and worked together, you know, and decided that we enough is enough and we can't take it, we would actually start a whole revolution, stopping all this nonsense. Do you think that if we came together, that they would be able to take unemployment away from us? They would cut back our health care and all this nonsense. They basically slowly taking all of our rights, so they can basically commence their whole martial law on our ass. That's what they want to do. They want to basically commence martial law, and basically we have no rights. What is the point of the United States Constitution? For what reason? Well, they're basically taking all our rights away from us. What's the point of being a United States citizen if they take everything away from us? What do we have left?
You ain't bullshitting, Lush. You know, that stems from two, man.
What do they have left?
A lot of people not getting off their ass to go vote, too, man. So, you know, when you don't vote, man, they definitely take power. They take over that house of power, man. When you don't vote, man, they like, okay, that's five less people that voted this year than last year. Or we getting
well,
it next
check,
year. It's going to be 10 less.
This is the thing right here. Let me tell you. Some people might think they might not agree with my statement, but this is it. The whole situation is playing a game with us. Let's pacify the people. They'll never say that we never had a black president. Not to say that he wasn't intertwined. The Bush family still has ties in the House and the Senate, no matter what. They have a long line in government, okay? And they have big pool, okay? Who's to say Obama is just a toy employing the whole entire big game that they're playing? They put him to make a bid with the Republicans to do some nonsense, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, like, and the Democrats are saying that they're going to veto everything. So it's chaos already in the House and the Senate right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is a whole bunch of corruption. This was a premeditated plan starting from 9/11 and beyond. From the time the Bush's reign came from years, it's just all of this was a plotted situation. After that, then came the recession. Then after recession, then comes we messing up with the health system. We messing up people foreclosures on homes and stuff. More and more people becoming homeless. Lots of people are losing jobs. After that, then they don't have jobs and now they got unemployment. Now we're taking the unemployment away. So people can't even go back to the school now because tuition, they can't afford to go to school.
Oh.
So what are they going to cut out? They going to cut financial aid now? What else is they going
to
take
away?
No,
because you know they're about to approve, you know they're about, they're toggling a thought of allowing the immigrants to come to pay, to be paid for education, to get education paid for.
They need them translators to go make that deal across the border. That's what they need. They need some translators. Yo, what'd he say? Okay, yeah, we got that. Okay, yep. That's what they need.
And I totally agree with you 100% as far as that situation, but I think that what happened is that Obama came in at a time that was going to be detrimental to anybody.
No,
but
he came in a time when we were weak and we were helpless and we had nowhere else to reach out to or to latch
right,
on to some type of hope.
He was the fall guy. He was the fall guy.
What?
Because anything in this era is going to be his fault. He might go down as being the worst president of the United States in history. because all this happened during his term. But this is all, what he kept saying is that he inherited this. But, you know, people wanted to appoint him or whatever because they were, whatever the case
no.
was, he was appointed, right?
But let me tell you, let me tell you, though, Ebony, Obama came out the woodwork from nowhere. Nobody knew shit about Obama. There was certain many. There was candidates that was already up there already.
Running.
They put him in there on purpose. This wasn't no coincidence and shit. This was planned. This was planned. And all of this corruption
was
going on. Yeah.
So he's going to get blamed for everything. The black man, quote unquote, is going to get blamed for everything.
That's like, y'all see that movie, 8mm with Nicolas Cage? That's sort of like that. Like when dude hired him to help him with the security for the joint with the president or whoever was there. Like, and he had the whole shit set up. Like, okay, we're going to kill him at this round. Had the boxer, had everybody in on it, and set up their dude to be the dude. Like, you know, chase everything around. Like, you know, that should be real, man. They pick up people for certain reasons, you know what I mean, and put them in certain positions.
And I honestly think that Obama actually took that plea and that bid. He said, this is what's going to happen. Point blank. He might have not knew everything, but he said, yo, we're going to put you here. We're going to play this game, right, with these people because they're vulnerable right now. You're going to be their hope, right, and then we're going to crush them. That's what we're going to do, right, and we're going to crush them. And after that, you and your family will be paid off for the rest of your life if you take this bid. And he took it.
See,
and
I
now we're
going
to think about
that.
When he's not reelected, what's going to happen, you know what I'm saying, next term. We're already in chaos.
I'm gonna tell you right now, nobody is voting unless nobody in the United States of America. They are done. The United States of America, the people in the United, unless they're Republicans, people in the United States have lost faith in the United States government. Okay,
right.
The people in the United States of America, even if we do vote, it's still sabotaged. Okay. Bush won on a sabotage.
Yeah, you're right.
In Florida, you're right.
It takes the Electoral College to actually judge who's going to win and who's not going to win. It could be thousands of people that could have voted for somebody else other than Obama, but they're not going to tell us the statistics. They put anybody who they want in office, who is beneficial to them, who they can reap benefits for. It's all a plan.
You ain't bullshit, but it's fun. As far as Obama, like, I mean, and, you know, why would he say no on taking, like, a deal like that? Because you got to realize he has nothing to lose. Like, yeah, if the world continues to get fucked up, he has nothing to lose. He went down in history, first black man to be president. Like, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, it sucks to say, but, you know, minority people are fucked up. Okay, yeah, we go. I don't care what happens to the rest of the world. I'm going to take this box. I'm going down in history as the first black man to be president. I don't care what nobody else says or go through. I'm in history. I'm in the books. You know what I mean? And it's crazy.
And it's fucked up.
Here's
the other thing, okay? Do you think he even cared about the minorities? Because how many minority people did he bring with him in office? If you notice, majority of them are all white. He might have had one Hispanic chick or whatever.
Well, he kept some of Bush's people so he can bring unity. He could
have
got rid of everybody and brought in his own people. But then,
you know. That's the ties, I'm telling you. He kept some of Bush's people. Bush still has ties in that whole office right now. Bush is not gone. That whole family, that whole legacy still is intertwined with the rule and everything that's going on in here. You know what I'm saying? And they're Republicans. And he's making in cahoots with the Republicans, and he's a Democrat. Who's to say he was really a Democrat? That was a whole facade.
No bullshit.
Here's my thing. If voting is the most important thing that you can do for your government, why don't they teach that class or economics in that in grade school? You know what I'm saying? Why don't you know when they teach you, they're gearing you up for at preschool and kindergarten to go to college. Why not gear you up the same to manage your money and vote at the same time? Why isn't that embedded in people? So from the time that you're in school, you know that at this time. This is what you're supposed to do. So you know what constitutes you to you know what rights that you have besides just you know, just leaving you basically for dead, 18 years old, oh, you can vote now. Here you go. Here's your package.
It's definitely. That's true. You know, it's just sad. Like, I really think that in giving back, I think that, you know, the American government owes the United States Americans, they owe them something, some questions, some answers, like what's really going on? Like, you guys are doing all these sneak attacks to slowly kill us off. You're killing us off with stuff you're putting in the toothpaste. You're killing us off slowly through the food, having these children overdeveloped at a young age, putting hormones and stuff, cloning, all kinds of nonsense. You know what I'm saying? Then they did the No Child Left Behind, dumbing down the children, so they'll be so dumb, they won't even be asking what's going on in the government. You know, they so consumed with all these electronics and stuff, but they didn't know that some of these kids are getting very advanced. You got children creating applications at 14 years old. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just really crazy. And I mean, you know, there's going to be a day. There's going to be somebody that's going to go into the government and break the freaking, you know, barriers and shit, because this is nonsense. I don't even understand what do they expect when they cut off unemployment. I just hope the United
they
States government
already.
Is ready.
Well,
I,
in California,
I mean, I
they
just,
did.
Mm-hmm. I just
enough unemployment.
Just, yo, I just hope that they get ready, because they think right now they might be getting their last checks, but I'm gonna tell you, if them people can't feed their kids. And they barely giving them food stamps. If they can't feed their kids and all that shit, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a motherfucking riot. It's going to be a motherfucking uproar. Seriously. Excuse my language, people, on Street Queens tonight, but it's going to be an uproar. It's going to be crazy. That's some people's sole income right now.
Yeah, you ain't lying. And you know what? People
don't like prostitution. People don't like dancing, strippers and shit. But I'm telling you, people will go doing that, and so people will go to selling drugs and all kinds of criminal activity in order to survive. If there's no other means to be legal with, and they put all these freezes on jobs, what do you expect somebody to do?
You ain't lying, Lush. Cause like,
well, there's
you know,
money in locking people up anyway, so why not regular... My mother always told me a thief can get into anything. It's the honest people that you need to worry about. So
mm-hmm.
when you take the honest people and you take away their income, and they're doomed to, you know, getting it how they live, you know what I'm saying, in order to survive, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to expand the jails, use our tax dollars to increase the jail system. They don't really care. They're not rehabilitating criminals up in there, no matter what they say. You know, they could be doing a class teaching our street pharmaceuticals have a legitimate business when they get out.
Mm.
They count money. They understand how to weigh. They understand metric system to a degree. You know what I'm saying? They understand metric system. Why aren't they in there teaching them mathematics?
They ain't there putting
them
to work.
If you look at the statistics, the United States of America rank so low. They got children in China and I think South Korea, North Korea, that are way advanced than our children right now.
Mhm.
You know,
and they speak three different languages.
That's crazy.
They speak three different languages. You know what they do? I've talked to a couple people from the Philippines. They're teaching them English in preschool. Everybody learns English in preschool. To kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you're in first grade, you understand the whole alphabetical system and the phonetics of the English language. Also, they speak their own language, and they learn a third language also. They go to school longer than what we do, and they have longer
mm-hmm.
calendar school years.
Yeah. They train their children like straight robots, I'm telling you. Like, their children are absorbing information. That's why they can come here and they can take over.
And be successful, exactly.
And be successful. Like, you're wondering, you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, these Asian people or these other people from other countries, they can't speak English. They already taught the proper grammar of English, and you got people here in the United States of America, our own children can't even read or speak English properly. They don't even know how to use proper grammar.
Because you know what it is? They put so much attention into everything else. You know what I mean? Like, certain people focus on their education, but they don't know. You know, like they say, man, these children are the future, because when we go on, that's who's going to be here right after us. So they definitely need to, you know, get that to them first, man. Like, yo, education is definitely the key of life right there, man. And I employ all them young ones, man, you know, go to school. Because you know what? If you know, a lot of people want to be entertainers and stuff like that. Them entertainers still need lawyers, still need doctors, and still need all that. So, you know, definitely go to school and take that up, man. You know what I mean? Because they're going to need you. Need them. Let them need you before you need them, basically, is what I'm saying.
But they don't make it easy. You know, they don't make it easy. They don't have a mandatory 6 to 6 program for working people. Why can't you take your child to my daughter's school, normally when I was in school, we were able to eat breakfast if we, you know, if we wanted to pay for it. If you qualify for free, we were able to eat lunch. You know, my daughter's school, they don't even provide breakfast.
That's crazy right there. See, you need your nice little breakfast to get your mind focused.
You know, and then why can't it be mandatory a 6 to 6? Parents work. You know, why can't there be people to be hired to take care of your kids? Why are you having after school programs and you're not doing homework? You're playing games. Are you serious?
See, yeah, after school programs, you're supposed to give them like an hour of homework first. Start off with the homework, and then once they finish that up, then okay, your homework's done, you can go play. Oh, your homework ain't done? Nah, you can't go play kickball. Finish that up right there, you know what I mean? But it's real
right,
crazy.
Let me check it. Right, and let's check the homework first. Let's all get into a group and let's check the homework. And see if your answers are correct. I have a key, and we'll do this. No, it's not. You know, you have a 6 to 6 program where you're paying off the pocket. You don't know if your kids. I used to pick my daughter up from school. You know, you have any homework? Oh yeah, we have homework. Well, why didn't you do it at 6 to 6? Oh well, because we went to go play kickball, or we went to go play tetherball. Really? I'm paying for you for a program to babysit you, basically.
Yeah.
Our education, it really, in some areas of California, the schools are good, but I don't think they make education the priority. Because if they did, kids would come home knowing what they're supposed to do from that day's lesson. And that sometimes that's not the case.
And you're right, too, because you know what's crazy? Like, you got more kids that know more about the internet and don't know nothing about word processing. Like, can't even open up a file for a document or nothing, but they can sure go on Yahoo.com and all this other nonsense, but can't, you know, write a school paper out on a computer, and it's real crazy.
It's like being in a grocery aisle and understanding that people shop in a U. You go on the outside lines first. You know, on the outside perimeters of the grocery store. And then whatever you need, you go in between the lines. I mean, in between the aisles. So the items that's going to catch you, they're looking to see hungry shoppers. They're looking to see bargain shoppers. And they're looking to find people who just, you know, sporadic shoppers. So everything is going to be on the outskirts of where you're looking for, to target everybody's personality at that point in time. And that's how they do with our education system. You got kids that's interested in school, that wants to go to school and pays attention. You got the kids that want to learn, but they really can't understand what's going on, and they're too ashamed or embarrassed to understand because how the teacher converses with them. And then you got the kids that just don't give a care. And you never even know it until you get your report card, because the teacher didn't bother even telling you your child, you know, falls asleep in school.
Definitely.
Most definitely.
But, you know, it's just sad, and, you know, we're going to talk more about that, you know, but to tell the people, guys, what are, you know, some of the things people can do to give back, and your closing, you know, thoughts on, you know, homelessness and the Christmas season, Ebony.
Well, I've been long-winded today. I apologize. I'm just very passionate. I'm just very passionate about what we've been speaking on and the government, you know, and all that good stuff. But just to bring it back to the reason of the call tonight, the topic of discussion, the homelessness and giving back to the community. And I do want to applaud Emma for going out and you know, and her crew starting Kris Kringle. I think it would be a really good idea for us to network and see how we can get that into the California, you know, area and see what we can do as far as the San Diego, getting some type of Kris Kringle and have it be a sister, you know, of the original one, you know. And it's just that when you're giving, definitely give from your heart. Give from your spirit and give from your soul. And you never know what someone is going through. So reach out to someone that's less fortunate than you. And also I would like to say, give freely without expectations. And it doesn't have to be just holidays for you to give, because people are homeless. They are needing different things every single day. So don't just pick one single solitary day just to give and think that, you know, you deserve a pat on your back. You know, you know where the soup kitchens are. You know, people can always use a volunteer. Someone can, you know, walk around, make 12 brown bags of lunches, and go out and pass out, your meals to people. So, you know, be creative in your giving.
Definitely a true statement. And Busby?
I just want to, basically like she said, but, you know, just to just throw my little mix in there, you know, if you go to the store or grocery store or whatever, you know, you happen to have a little change left over something, you know, throw that to the next person, because you never know who might be short, or, you know, you just happen to see somebody just standing there looking hungry, you know, ask them, like, yo, what's going on, you know, what it is, I don't know, just think with your heart, not your mind, or, you know what I mean, things like that, man, because if it was you in that situation, matter of fact, I'll put it like that, put yourself in somebody else's shoes and think about if you was them and what you were doing, what you would want somebody to do for you. So always put yourself in somebody else's shoes before you worry about your laces. That's what I got to say.
Definitely, definitely. And I feel like the true Christmas spirit is something that we naturally have as human compassion, to give back to others other than yourself. And, you know, it's a lot of people out here going through something, and we definitely have to give back, you know what I'm saying? And I've always been giving back, you know, and it's not, I don't expect nothing, because at the end of the day, those blessings come back to me, you know, and always keep God first, because no matter what you're going through in life, there's been worse days, and God has gotten you through it. You know what I'm saying? And every setback is a setup for a step up. And when you're getting close to your blessing, sometimes the devil will try to intervene. The devil is trying to intervene right now with cutting out some of these people's checks, but God will find a way to overcome whatever the devil is trying to do. And no weapon, shape, or form shall prosper against any of us or any of our listeners out there. So don't fret, don't be depressed about if you can't get something for your child, or you can't do this, because there is going to be a way. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but something will happen. Or that neighbor next door will say, would you like to come and eat with us? Or I have an extra thing to give to your child. You never know. You know what I mean? Help can be right around the corner, you know. And with the government, hopefully they see the evil of the ways and the things that they're doing to these people. Because these poor American people are just innocent bystanders that are being affected by this every single day. And my American people, I call out to you to please stand up and please listen up and be aware of what's going on with us and what's going on with the government, man. Stop being, you know, basically, you know, put and brainwashed and thinking that we're going to live a redundant and you know, systematic life every day you go to work. God forbid, a lot of people that's been working for 20 years lost their jobs. Nothing is guaranteed in this life, you know, and we have to learn that way of survival. Have several trades in order for you to make it. I think the only true hustler is going to be able to survive this situation, because if it ain't one thing, it's another. You know, the devil's a lie. I'm getting close to my blessings, and you know, I injured myself, you know what I'm saying? I was in the hospital for a whole week. I'm still healing, but, you know, the devil's a lie. I got to continue to give to these people and give out this information and stuff like that, provide opportunities through Lust Radio and things like that and bring people together. I have to continue to do that because if I do not, you know, have that determination and get better and stuff like that,
right.
You know what I'm saying, all of this hard work will be for nothing, you know, so we have to continue to push on and stay strong and come together as brothers and sisters to work together to do things in life. We need each other in order for us to make it, and no one can do it alone. We could try our best to try to act like we're gangster or whatever you may call it, but nobody can do it alone. And I wish the blessings for everyone out there, all of our listeners, all of our callers on the line today, and I pray that the numbers go up for our Kris Kringle Drive and people come out of their hearts and definitely help with that situation. And I pray that all of our listeners and callers, you know, have a wonderful Christmas. No one goes without any shelter, without any food, or goes without anything this year. And I also pray that all of the children out there have something, you know, and definitely, you know, have a wonderful, you know, Christmas. And we bring a smile to plenty of children's faces this year. And God is good all the time. And for them single mothers out there that's barely making it from check to provide for their children, God's going to provide something for you, either a bonus or something's going to come in and help you. So don't worry, don't fret, because God is good. Don't stress. You understand what I'm saying? And people, go ahead and Ebony and Bugsy, give out your Twitter and information and stuff like that.
My Twitter is Ebony Shiesha, EbonyShiesha. And my email is etakeconsulting@gmail.com. So that's where I'll be.
That's what it is. And Bugsy?
Oh, yeah. You know, Twitter's still standing at Bugsy_RIP Stack. That's BUGZY_RIP_STACK. Or you can hit me on that Gmail, TheRealBugsy13@gmail.com. This Bugsy with an S instead of a Z. So you know, holla at me. Let's make it do what it do.
That's what it is. And you can always follow me at Lush Radio Online and log on to www.lushradioonline.com or streetqueensmovement.ning.com. And definitely support what we got and what we're doing, you know, to try to help the community. It's not just about radio and it's not just about talking and stuff. It's also about implementing and starting change yourself. Go out into your community. It starts from the home and then the community. So let's work together to make a change. Positive people doing positive things, you know what I mean? And this is what Street Queens and Movers is about. No matter if you're young or small, you could be a street queen or a street king. You know, join us in our fight in order to try to change the world one step at a time. And God bless you all. And in the Christmas spirit, we're going to go ahead and throw in some Curtis Blow. Salute to him. And shout out to Fred the Godson for rocking B.B. King's and doing his thing. Salute to him. He's definitely on the ride. God bless him. God bless everybody that's definitely supported me while I was going through my injury. And I love you, Ebony and Bugsy. And hope to see you guys next week on Street Queens The Movement. And Friday, we rocking out. Hopefully, we'll have Young L.A. And we'll be playing some new music. And we're going to go on a Curtis Blow Christmas rap. I'm taking it back to the old school when I was an old fool. Yeah.
Was the night before Christmas, and all through the
hold it now, wait, hold it, that's played out. Hit it!
Don't you give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive, cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap's about to happen like a knee. You were slapping, or I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suit of two with a friendly attitude and a slave full of 34. quite a shock. Now people, let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying over here. Well, the Hulk was out, snow was on the ground. Folks stayed in, too party down. The beat was thumping on the box, and I was dancing in my socks. And the drummer played at a solid pace, and the taste of the bass was in my face. And the guitar player laid down a heavy layer of the funky chunky rhythm of the disco beat. And the guy with the 88 started to participate, and I could sure appreciate the sound so sweet. We were all in the mood, so we had a little food and a joke and a smoke and a little bit of wine. When I thought I heard a hoop on the top of the roof, could it be it wasn't me? I was feeling super fine, so I went to the attic where I thought I heard the static on the chance that the fans put the body breaking in. Put the noise on the top with the reindeer top, just a trick, say mix, and I let the sucker in. He was rolling, he was holy, and I said, holy moly, you got a lot of wishes on your chinny chin chin. He allowed, he was proud of the hairy little crowd on the point of the door where the skin should have been. Get fooled for a fool, going out every you for a day on the plane when the cold went low. So the beer made me weird, but I'll never have a cheer, cause it's warm in the storm when it's 10 below. I said, yo, God, it's cold tonight, but can you stop for a drop before you go? He said, why not? It's the music hot, and I'll chance to dance beneath the mistletoe. So he went downstairs and forgot his scare, and he rocked the spot and danced like a pro. And every young girl tried to rock his world, but he booked the yogi yogi till he had to go. And before he went, this fine old gent bought a gift with a tip to his big red bag. In the top or the bottom, he reached in and got a toy for the boys for the girl's glad rag. And a grown-up got some presents too, a new TV and a stereo, a new DeVille by the Suicide Sky, the best that money couldn't buy. Cause money could never ever buy the feeling, the one that comes from not concealing the way you feel about your friends. And this is how the story ends. The dude in red back at the pole up north where everything is cold. But if he were right here tonight, he'd say Merry Christmas and to all a good night. I see that it's not clear, but you good buddies to clean out your ears. Listen very close while I pop for a game, cause my name in the Hall of Fame. The K-U-R, the T-I-M, the first is the best, I must confess. The B-L-O and the W, I make you wanna catch the Boogaloo crew. Now if your name is Annie, get up off your fanny. If your name is Ty, get off your backside. If your name is Steve, you don't need a seat, cause I'm Curtis Blow and I'm on the go. I'm rocking to the rhythms in stereo. Your hands in the air and rave on like you just don't care. If you're ready like Freddy to rock, real steady, somebody say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, young ladies, all the ladies in the house say, ow. And you don't stop. Come on, come on, come on. Let me see you rock. I get down. Stop messing around when Curtis Blow is in your town. I'm Curtis Blow on the microphone. A place called Harlem was my home. I was rocking one day. It started to shake. And sounds to me are like a earthquake. I packed my bag, I said goodbye, I kissed my woman and I started to fly. I came to Earth by a meteorite to rock you all on the mic. So just kick off your shoes, let your fingers pop, the Curtis Blow is about ready to rock. Now the people in the back, if you're not the wax, say, the people in the front, if you want to bump, say, the people in the middle, if you want to wiggle, say, and the people on the side, if you want to slide, say. Not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician, a fighter or a writer or a politician, the man with the key to your ignition. Curtis Blow is competition. Young ladies, shock the house. That's the young ladies, shock the house. Now just throw your hands in the air and wave it like you just don't care. If y'all really ready, rock the house this morning, somebody say, oh yeah. Oh! hop on like a little boy blue blowing on a horn. I need a lot of record trying to play a song. It's been that way since the day was born. I like a 25 cent bag of popcorn. Dip, dip, dab, so socialize. Shut your ears and open up your eyes. So you go here can't realize that I'm here to drink the lies. Got the knack of cool jack, better than Beretta. Casanova Brown, but closer down. I get down. Stop messing around when Curtis Blow is in.